Well, it is a creepy and curious world out there, and as we've been talking a little bit about this morning, we're talking about animal tradies. You might think of a plumber or a sparky or a mechanic or a hairdresser, but what about the ability of those in the animal kingdom to use a type of tool? Paul McDonald is a doctor from the University of New England. Hello, Paul.
Good morning, Kel.
So what sort of animals use tools in the kingdom, of the animal kingdom?
Look, well, there's lots of different types of tools and lots of different animals use them. The classic ones that really come to mind are things like the primates. So when you think of orangutans or chimps or capuchin monkeys, things like that are the ones you see on the the Attenborough documentaries.
Yeah, so clever.
Yeah, absolutely. So you see things, capuchin monkeys are very famous for using rocks, for example, as a bit of an anvil. So they'll pound away at palm nuts to open those to get at the seed kernels inside. So they're a classic example. It takes them years to learn how to do that, and the young have to start practicing often with various levels of success or lack thereof until they get the hang of it. But the other thing you often see primates doing, and they often have this set up at zoos, many listeners might have seen it in a zoo environment where they'll have a social insect nest, so it might be ants or termites or something along those lines, and they'll get a blade of grass or a thin stick that they can poke down a hole down the nest entrance, and if it's an aggressive insect, they'll bite the stick and can therefore be pulled out so the animal can eat them, or sometimes the chimp will lick the stick so it's a little bit sticky and the ants will get stuck to it that way, and so on. So they may not strike you as a hammer or a pair of scissors and so on, as you alluded to earlier, but it very much is a tool, and it's a way of accessing a resource that otherwise wouldn't be available to them.
So is it just the really intelligent animals, though, or do you see other animals capable of tool use as well?
Well, it's the answer's really changed, and perhaps not that surprisingly. Humans have a pretty lofty view of themselves when it comes to the animal kingdom, and for many decades there was a very long list of things that only humans could do, and some of those might be live in cities or have a society or a specific language and so on, and tool use was very much one of the main ones that used to get spouted as, look, only humans can use tools, aren't we wonderful? That's since been well and truly crossed off the list, and now turns out that a whole range of animals use tools, and perhaps we're not as special as we thought we might have been. That's an aside.
You're devastating our egos this morning.
Yes, yes. Well, probably a few people need to hear that, to be fair, but that's an aside. To take that stick example, so we think about the chimp using a long blade of grass to access termites, something along those lines. Looks really impressive, and because it's a chimp, our natural response is, wow, that's really quite intelligent for the chimp to do. And it is a special type of intelligence, if you like, and a way of reasoning through a problem. But even a bird, a lowly woodpecker finch that lives on the Galapagos Islands, does something very similar. So Galapagos is very famous for a tiny little island out in the middle of nowhere, first colonised by a particular type of finch. Virtually no other bird species around in the forest in those islands, so it's diversified to fill a whole range of niches. And one of those is feeding on larvae that are inside the wood. So think about caterpillar borers and so on digging through a tree trunk and so on. They're hard to get at, and unless animals, something like our black cockatoos, for example, can bite open that trunk to get at those larvae, but something like a finch doesn't have the equipment to do that. But what these guys have learnt to do is break off a small twig and use it a bit like a spear. So they'll stick the twig down down the hole to either push the larvae out to a point where they can grab it or actually spear it and pull it out, exactly like a spear to get at it that way. So it's interesting when you show people those examples, the response for the bird is very much not so much a, wow, isn't that intelligent response like the chimp. So our perceptions do flavour the interpretation a little bit, if you like, but Lots of examples outside of the primates.
Dr. Paul McDonald with us on ABC New England Northwest. We're talking animal tradies, if you don't mind, with Paul, one of our lovely listeners in Armidale, Helen. She's often sends me text messages about her cat, Arthur, and apparently he's listening and jumping up on the bathroom sink and stealing her makeup brushes as we speak. So I don't know if that's a beautician skill or...
It's probably a skill in annoying the owner into doing what the cat actually wants it to do. But yeah. No. I mean, cats are interesting because they featured actually quite prominently in early psychology trials into studying learning. But cats are very interested in their environment, as any cat owner will know, and they actually operate on a trial and error basis in terms of most of their learning. So they'll interact with whatever they can in their environment, and if it leads to a negative outcome, then they won't repeat it. But if it leads to a positive outcome, then they'll remember it and be more likely to exhibit it afterwards. So I heard the example of opening the fridge, or another one's is learning how to open a door. So yeah. You put the cat in a room and then suddenly it opens the door and out she pops. that's very much a matter of the cat's, you know, interacting with the environment, jumping or leaning on the handle or whatever it might be, and suddenly the door opens and that triggers the memory system, and then they go, okay, that, next time they're more likely to interact with the door handle, and after that you need a lock on the door or something different. But yeah, so cats are really interesting.
So what are some of the weirder ways you've seen animals use tools, or read about animals using tools?
Well, there's lots of different ones. The one that really comes to mind I quite like, and there's a few YouTube videos of this as well. I'll have to dig out a link for you. But lots of animals go fishing, and you know, some of them just use you know, beak or teeth or whatever they particularly have. But others go ahead and use tools. And one of the ones that comes to mind, you might think of whales. Some whales make a bit of a bubble net, so they can swim under a school of fish and circle around them blowing bubbles, and that forms a bit of a fishing net, a bit analogous to a human trawler.
Wow.
So humpbacks will do that, for example. But the one that I really like, because it really does look like you know, your classic angler on the side of the river, is lots of different species of herons actually fish with bread. So herons are a little bit, you might have seen white egrets around the place. Away from water, you get cattle egrets following cows around. And on the edge of the water, there's a number of different species we have in the country. Herons are very similar, but they're a little bit smaller and a bit more cryptic. But essentially same sort of bird, very long legs, long neck and a long sharp bill. So they'll be skulking around the edge of the water, little fish swimming on the surface of the water, and they'll extend that long neck to grab them or spear them with their bill. The problem is those little fish are very hard to catch. So they've worked out a whole range of ways to do that. Some of them, for example, hold their wings out and form a bit of shade. So the fish like to be in the shade, so they come in and swim under the bird's wings to be in the shade, and the bird can catch them easily. So that's pretty interesting. But some fish in lots of different areas around the world, and including Australia, have learnt to associate bread with little fish. So what they'll actually do is get a piece of bread from, often these are areas near picnic areas for humans and so on, get a piece of bread, take it down to the water's edge and actually drop it in the water. The fish come in to nibble at the bread, and then the bird can grab the fish. Now,
that is so clever.
It's very interesting to watch, because they'll actually, it's a little bit like casting the line. So you'll see them put the bread down and they sit and wait and watch. And after a little while, if no fish have come along, they'll pick the bread up and move to a different spot and put it out again and give it a bit of a jiggle and so on. So it really is quite interesting behaviour. And, you know, often sort of 20, 30 metres up the bank, there's a human angler doing exactly the same thing. So it is rather amusing. But you know, these guys have learned that the quickest way to get fish attracted to the area where they're hunting is by using that bread resource.
So is that seen as kind of animal smarts, or is that a real sign of learning and development?
Well, it's a different type of learning. It's what we call associative learning. So they're making a link between two objects in the environment and how they might interact. So if we take the analogy a bit further, crocodiles will actually fish as well, but they're, rather than fishing for fish in this particular case, they're actually fishing for the herons and types of birds that come down to the water's edge. Now, rather than going for bread, what those birds are going for is sticks. So crocodiles in some parts of the world, such as India and also in alligators in the States, have learnt that during the nesting season, those sticks are in short supply, so the birds are really trying to get at them. So they're actually putting those sticks on the end of their snout. And as the birds come in to grab the stick to put on their nest, they're basically landing right next to a crocodile alligator's snout, which can then again grab them. So they're fishing for birds, if you like. But how that works, both the bread and the crocodile example, is individuals have seen a particular prey item near an object in their environment and made the link between object and their prey. So next time they see the object, taken that to an area where they might encounter prey, and therefore made that link between the two. So it's not necessarily in-depth reasoning and abstract reasoning on the old chalkboard, and then they go implement the plan type thing. It's making a link between those two things in the environment. But we're not immune to that either, and whether or not you'd call it smarts might depend on this analogy. The thing that strikes me as most analogous to that type of learning for humans is superstitions. So we think of, you know, the lucky pair of undies, for example. You know, you put on a particular pair of undies, go out in the weekend sport and score a few goals or hit a century or whatever it might be, and suddenly it's the undies that caused that particular event. That's associative learning as well. There are sensible ones, so don't walk under a ladder and, you know, it'd be bad luck. That's pretty obvious where that one came from. But, you know, things like knock on wood and so on, you know, you can see at the link where it worked one particular time and has carried on. So it works in a very similar way.
Paul McDonald's with us on ABC New England Northwest in Creepy But Curious. We saw Paul down in Hobart, gulls, really quite large seagulls. I can't remember which type they were, but they were sort of picking off mussels off the side of the shoreline or the rocks, flying quite high and then sort of dropping them and letting them smash and then eating the mussel inside or whatever it would have been. I don't know if that's a tool, but it seemed like a pretty clever use of there.
It's very much a tool, and quite a few birds do similar things. So there's a very famous Lammergeier's type of bird that pretty much only eats bones. So it takes the big bones up and drops them on rocks to smash them open to get at the marrow and divvy them up. And golden eagles, and for example, are another, or so, a lot of the large eagles actually are quite famous for doing that with things like tortoises and so on, which they can't get at, but whoa, they can fly up high and drop them down on a rock, and it doesn't end well for the tortoise, unfortunately, but opens that food up for the eagle. So birds are quite good at using things as an anvil. And the other, probably more weirder tool is crows in a particular city in Japan have learnt to crush nuts under traffic, so under car wheels. So they'll take them out and put them in the road, move off the road and wait for a car to run over them and then go out and eat them. So
slightly dangerous, but also quite clever.
Yes, a bit more risky, but it works really well.
On the text along the lines of the sort of the anvil thing, the Peter in Tamworth has sent us a message, Paul, saying the Australian buzzard apparently uses small rocks held in the beak and then throws them at emu eggs to break them open. Have you ever heard of that?
Yeah, I think there's a park in Alice Springs that has them trained up or has captive animals that can do that as part of a show. That's the black-breasted buzzard is the species there, and they'll grab rocks of various size, and rather than dropping the egg on the rock, they'll take the rock to the egg rather, and throw or drop the rock down on the egg to smash it to get into it. So,
wow.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive.
So, have you seen anything else used as a tool?
Well, there's lots of different things. The weirdest one that's just come out last month, there was a publication come out which really struck me as really thinking outside the box. There's lots of honourable mentions, so, you know, crows can bend sticks and actually carry some of the sticks around with them when they find a good one, and dolphins wear sponge armour, which is really quite interesting, where they put a sponge on the end of their rostra so they're digging in sand, they don't hurt the end of their nose, if you like. But the Byring Owl, I thought, took the cake when I read this. I thought this was really classic, taking it to the next level. These guys live in quite commonly live in the States, the arid environment, and they do live in burrows, hence the name Burrowing Owl. They're a tiny little owl, spend all their time on the ground pretty much, eat lots of the typical sort of owl food, so lots of little small mammals, small reptiles and insects. But it's pretty dangerous for a little owl like that to be out and about on the plains. So to reduce the danger of hunting and indeed the energy expenditure, these guys have actually learnt to use dung as a tool. So strange tool, but really for them it works quite well. So what the researchers found is out the front of these owl burrows, lots of piles of dung everywhere, which they thought was a little bit strange. So they had a look, and it was actually the owls collecting it. And it turns out one of the owls' favourite foods is actually dung beetles. So what they're doing is going collecting a pile of fresh dung, putting it at the entrance of their burrow. They can then sit back at safe in their burrow at the edge and wait. And the dung beetles come to them, and then they just pick the dung beetles off as they wander up to their dung pile and pretty much eat while they're sitting in their front living room, if
that
you like.
That is so clever. That's like one of those beer commercials where the blokes sit back and have their fishing rod and their beer and just sit on the shore and...
Absolutely. Well, unfortunately for the burrowing owl, it is a reasonably rotund profile animal, so it does look a bit like Norm, has to be said, sitting back, but yeah.